Hi, I'm Sam Harrelson. We're about to go on a journey, and I hope you'll join me for at least parts of it. You don't have to stick around for the whole thing. It's going to be rather long, but it's something that I've always wanted to do. So about 20 years ago, I was sitting in a college classroom, and I didn't realize it immediately at the time, but it only took a few minutes for me to understand that my life had changed. I was a chemistry computer science major, and I was very confident about my knowledge of the Bible. Because I grew up in a very conservative, traditional household, and I grew up around Bibles. We had Bibles at church. We pledged allegiance to the Bible. I went to Bible school. I went to summer church group events. I had a lot of Bible in my life. And around the age of 13 or 14, I became really interested in the Bible to the point where when we got to visit sort of big bookstores in the next town over, that was much larger than my little small rural hometown, I would compare translations of the Bible. And I thought that it was fascinating that some translations were different than other translations. And I quickly glommed on to Romans 12:2 as one of my favorite Bible verses around that age. And I would go into these bookstores and compare how the King James Version lined up to the NRSV or the CEV or the NIV. And I found so many differences, and I always wondered why that was. So as a high school student, some of my teachers kind of picked up on my interest in things like religion, because we went to church rather late in my family. So religion was always mystical to me in a way that I don't know if it's going to be mystical to my kids who are growing up in the church from a very early age. So this idea of religion and the Bible and these scriptures and this ancient knowledge always kind of held a very high place in my mind as a teenager. So some of my teachers started pointing me to books like Hermann Hesse's Siddhartha, and I started reading things like the Bhagavad Gita, and I started getting more and more kind of down the rabbit hole of world religions and thinking about my own burgeoning Christian faith. And then I started to get into things like the Beatles. And of course, the Beatles had their very famous run-in with the Maharishi Yoga in 1967 and with their trip to India. And that impacted me. So as a 15, 16-year-old, I started trying to meditate because I thought, well, if it's good enough for George Harrison, it's good enough for me. And at the same time, I was also beginning to explore things like science. And to me, science kind of had that same mystical nature to it. It was a way to explore the bigger, deeper concepts, just like religion was. And all of a sudden, I found myself very down the rabbit hole of physics and chemistry and the wonderful sort of physical sciences, if you will, which I would actually turn out to teach for 7 years in middle school. And I still miss that every day. But both religion and science held these two competing spaces in my head, and I never really gave up my affinity for studying religion, but science became my passion as I finished up in high school. And I had a physics teacher who was amazing, and he pointed me into these new directions that I'd never heard of or pondered. And this was around the same time that the Hubble was coming online, and we were making incredible discoveries both about the cosmos and about the quantum mechanical world. And it was a very exciting time to be in science. So when I went off to college, I was a chemistry computer science major. And I really enjoyed my chemistry and my computer science classes. And I thought I was going to have a long career in cosmology and perhaps, you know, be the next Einstein, maybe not. But I always kind of held on to that notion of the grandeur of the universe and loved studying it. And I still do today. But this class that we began with all those years ago, 20 years ago, I was sitting in this class, and it was the first day of summer school, and it was a hot day, and I can't remember if we had air conditioning at that time or not. There was a lot of construction on campus. It wasn't that long ago where we didn't have AC, but you know what I mean. So we're sitting in this class, and it's rather packed, and it's full of people like me, people who are taking this class because it's a required class at our little small Southern liberal arts Methodist college where you have to take a religion class. And it was full of people like me who were chemistry majors and math majors and biology majors. And we were there just to get this out of the way. You know, we were BS majors. This is all BA stuff. And within the first 10 minutes, my life had changed. Professor Bullard, who's a very curmudgeonly, old school, I'm sorry if you don't like what I'm saying here, but here's what I'm going to say. Professor Bullard started in on Genesis 1, and he opened my eyes in a way that I hadn't felt since I was 13 or 14, about the Bible and just about how the universe functions, whether it's the creation in Genesis 1 or how that compares to Genesis 2 or just the overarching narrative of things like Genesis and how that still impacts us today. So I sat there in amazement and wonder listening to his words, and I thought, I've never thought about the Bible this way. I thought I knew everything there was to know, conceivably that a 18, 17-year-old college sophomore could know. And this professor just blew my mind. So as I left class, I don't remember making the conscious decision to do this, but I went straight to the registrar's office during summer school. Right after, in the morning, I'd had a Calculus 4 class, and I went to this Old Testament class. But I went to the registrar, and I changed my major from chemistry, computer science to religion. And I remember the registrar said, are you sure? Like, do you need to talk to your advisor? I mean, you do need to talk to your advisor. Like, let's not be hasty about this. But if you know me, you know that I'm anything but not hasty. So I quickly got my advisor to sign off on it by changing advisors. And here I am, 20 years later. So the journey that I hope we get to go on here is that same kind of journey that I went through as a teenager, and then as a young 20-something, and then as a person who navigated teaching science in middle school while still having an affinity for the study of religion, and then going back to seminary, and then being here, where I'm married to a pastor and ordained myself now. And just a little bit about my own qualifications to do something like this. Yes, I'm ordained as a member of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. We are kind of the moderate Baptists, if you will. And along with that, I, of course, was a religion major, which we just talked about. But I've also spent time at Yale Divinity School. I have a master's in religion and the arts, but I've focused primarily on the biblical text and how it relates to ancient art. Mostly Assyrian art. We'll talk about those Assyrians when we get to 2 Kings. I love them. And then also modern poetry and biblical text. I've also attended a seminary and have coursework across the gamut in that regards when it comes to the Bible. I've also taught adjunct Old Testament and Bible at a couple of universities here in the Southeast, as well as way too many Sunday school lessons on topics across the Bible, ranging from Old Testament to New Testament to extra-canonical books as well. So I've got about 20 years of study so far in the Bible, and I'm excited about sharing what I've learned as a part of this series. But this podcast is going to be more of a series of explorations about the biblical text. Now, even though I am a practicing Christian, I am not going to approach the text here from a confessional point of view. So my aim with this series is not necessarily to get you to see Jesus in the Old Testament or to get you to believe that the Old Testament is the record of how the kingdom of heaven will come about. Those are statements of belief. I'm sure I will fall over into some theological meandering from time to time, as I want to do. However, we're going to try to stick mostly to sort of reading the text as we received it and interacting with the text in a way that honors the context and the historicity, as well as some of the theological underpinnings, again, from my point of view. But this is not meant to be something like a confessional or a missionary type of series. So we're going to read the whole Bible, believe it or not, and it's going to take a long time, but you're going to enjoy it. And you don't have to listen to every single segment, but I hope you'll dip in when things seem like they might intrigue you. And the trick is, it's the things like our first series on Acts. I mean, who considers Acts their favorite book of the Bible? Nobody, right? But Acts is an amazing adventure and story. And we're going to go through this line by line. And you're going to get so much out of this, hopefully, as we dialogue here, both me talking into a microphone as I'm sitting here with the text, as well as, you know, you following along and completing the spaces that I leave open in your own mind. Now, like I said, I'm a Christian. And for me, when I say the Bible, that means the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if we get time, which I doubt we will, but, you know, if we get time, if I live long enough, if you will, we might even get into the Pseudepigrapha and some of the extra canonical books. But for the most part, we're going to stick with kind of a Protestant Christian version of the Bible. Now, if you go into a synagogue or if you go into even a Catholic church, you might get a little different blend of books. So in this series, we're not going to cover Tobit, for instance. Sadly, Tobit's a great story. Maybe we'll get to that one day. But for the most part, we're going to stick with kind of the Protestant version of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm also going to be mixing up and sort of changing the different types of versions of the Bible that I use. Typically, personally, I use the NRSV, but there are some times when the ESV is kind of interesting to pull out and read, or sometimes when the old RSV looks kind of interesting for a particular passage. And sometimes we'll use the JPS, the Jewish Publication Service, and we'll go through that translation as we work through some Hebrew. But we're going to start with Acts, and we're going to work our way through Acts. Let me pull out my Bruce Metzger book here. You'll have to listen to the Acts version or segments as to why we're talking about Bruce Metzger. But we're going to be looking at Acts in six parts. So there's going to be six episodes or six segments of Acts that we use. And we're going to break Acts down into that. So each one of these segments, for every book that we do, for every series that we do, is going to be somewhere around hopefully 20 to 30, maybe 35, 40 minutes long. But we're going to try to stick to around 30 minutes as the average. So the idea is you'll be able to listen, you'll be able to engage, you'll be able to sort of get a chunk of this text in within a 20 to 30 minute time frame. And I hope you'll enjoy that. So we're going to get from Acts in the New Testament. That's the first kind of series we're going to work on. And then we're going to flip back and go into the Minor Prophets or the Book of the 12. Things like Amos, Hosea, Micah, Obadiah, those Old Testament prophets that are still very influential culturally, but we don't really pay enough attention to them. So we're going to flip back to the Old Testament there and read from the Book of the 12. Now, sometimes there might be a guest. Not always. It's mostly going to be me talking to you. But sometimes, yeah, we'll have a guest. You know, people who are impactful to me about a certain text, or people that I know have a keen insight on a certain text. But for the most part, it's going to be me speaking into the microphone, interacting with your brain. And I hope you enjoy that as we move along. So where can you find this collection of audio? If you go to geektestament.com, and if you're listening to this, you've probably already found it. But if you go to geektestament.com, that'll take you to a section of my website where this audio will be available. It will also be available on places like iTunes and Google Play Music and eventually Spotify and some of those other sources that we use to listen to audio these days. It is going to be free. I'm not charging for any of this. Feel free to use this, mix it up. Just give a little bit of attribution. It is under a Creative Commons copyright. So that means that you can take this into a Sunday school class or to a seminar or into your study group or whatever you want to use this for. And you can mix it up and make it what you need it to be, as long as you give a little bit of attribution. And you can just link back to the site in that case. So frequency, how often are these things going to be published? And the answer to that is that they're going to be published hopefully pretty much weekly if you're listening as these shows are coming out, as these segments are coming out. But you can always go back later and listen to them in total, which you might be doing. This is evergreen content. It's not going to be tied to a specific moment in time. So you can listen to one part of Acts and say, meh, I don't really care about this. I'm going to skip ahead and go to the segments on Revelation. Or you can skip back and get to the Book of the 12. That type of fluidity, if you will. But for the most part, if you're listening as these shows are being released, they will come out on a weekly basis, sometimes in groups of two or three, sometimes in groups of a total book or a total section of the Bible. Also, the Geek Testament is listener-supported, so we're not going to have advertisements on the show, so you don't have to worry about that if you're using this for the purposes of something like a Sunday school class or for a small group discussion. So don't worry about having to cut out the advertisements, if you will, as you have to do for many podcasts out there. And if you go to geektestament.com, you'll be able to support the show if you find value out of this, which I hope you do. So that's it. We're going to start with Acts. I hope you tune in. If you have any questions, give me an email. My email is down below on this page. Or if you're listening, it is sam@samharrelson.com. You can find me on places like Twitter. That's probably the easiest spot for you to come across me and my ramblings in text form. But I hope you also will journey with me as we go through the Bible. And I hope that this series is able to give you some insight into the hidden crooks and nannies of this amazing text that still impacts us today, but we seem to not understand as much as we ought to. So now, on with the show.